Welcome back into the Student Section Podcast. It's all college football all the time. Hope you guys enjoy the episode today.
Welcome back to the Student Section Podcast. This is Steven. I'm here today with my co-host, Garen. The first weekend of college football just came to a close. It was pretty good. First couple games, we had Florida versus Miami and Arizona versus Hawaii. Two very close and exciting games. So it's a great way to kick off the season. So starting off, we're going to just talk about those games, you know, tell you all what we think, what we saw, you know, maybe break it down a bit. So getting right into the Florida versus Miami game, what did you see about that?
I thought Florida was a bit overrated. And I've been saying that for a couple weeks now, especially after I saw some of their depth take some hits with transfers, suspensions, and then a plethora of injuries. And you know, I thought Miami gave them a good run for their money. I thought Jaren Williams played decent. I think there's a couple, you know, he had a couple rookie mistakes that he could have avoided. I'd like to see him, you know, keep the defense honest and try to throw it downfield more or throw it over the top. They threw a lot of, you know, short slants over the middle, some screen passes, some out routes, stuff like that. But other than that, I think it was a really exciting game. Probably the best, like, kickoff game I've probably seen in a while.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was a great way to start the season. I mean, I agree with the Jaren Williams stuff you were saying about how I wish he could throw the ball downfield more. I think a lot of that might just be the play calling. The coaches might have been super conservative since he's, you know, he's inexperienced and it's the first game of the year. But, you know, hopefully that just was the play calling. Hopefully it wasn't, you know, his inability to do that, because if it is, you know, it's going to cause issues in the upcoming weeks. But, yeah, I mean, he played decent. I mean, his stats were pretty good, and, you know, he gave him put him in a position to win. But, I mean, I saw some people saying, like, he played great and all this stuff. And, I mean, I don't think he played great. He had a decent game, you know. Like you said, he was just dumping the ball off on screen passes, like 5-yard passes. You know, he wasn't, you know, really doing that much. So, you know, he had a couple of good throws. But, and then probably the biggest thing that he needs to improve on that I saw was the offensive line was horrendous, and he got hit way too many times, and then he got sacked 10 times. But there were times where he would, you know, escape the pocket, or he would, you know, hold on the ball like 5 seconds, and his offensive line, you know, actually gave him a decent shot, or he escaped the pressure, and then he would just hold on to the ball. And like at one point, I remember he was rolling out, got away from the pressure, and instead of throwing the ball downfield or just throwing it out, he literally just ran straight out of bounds and took a 2-yard loss. And, you know, you obviously can't be doing that. I mean, maybe it's just a, you know, rookie mistake, but
I saw a lot of – I think there was a lot of those. It wasn't just one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were multiple times. That was just one I remember specifically. But that's something the coaches will need to talk to him about. Other than that, I mean, it's just a sloppy game overall. You know, just, you know, bad protection from the offensive line, turnovers, especially down at the end of the game with Florida's penalties. There were a ton of penalties in the game. So, you know, they'll need to clean it up on both sides. For Florida, I'm thinking Felipe Franks, he had a decent game as well. I saw a lot more people giving Felipe Franks hate than Jaren Williams. And I think that's partly because, you know, a lot of people expect a lot more out of Felipe Franks than they expect out of Jaren Williams. I think they expect Felipe Franks to do like pretty good, and then they didn't really know what to expect from Jaren Williams. So when Jaren Williams had a decent game, everyone's like praising him, and Felipe Franks also had a decent game and people were just criticizing him. And I don't think either of them had that great of a game, but I don't think either of them also had a terrible game. So, you know, Felipe Franks, he had that one very bad interception. He had another one, but I wouldn't blame that on him. He got hit when he threw. But the biggest thing for him, I think, is just his keeping his head in the game, because he threw like a pick, and then he was after that, he like then he made a good play, might have scored a touchdown or something, and then he, you know, looking into the camera, just talking a bunch of garbage, just like, you know, you're still, the game's very close. You shouldn't be doing that. You should keep your head in the game. So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for Felipe Franks.
Yeah, he'll definitely have to improve his performance in a couple weeks when they travel to Lexington, because that'll be a big game for him and the Gators, especially their offense. I think it struggled a lot. And they didn't, they only got, I think Tony only had like four touches, and one of those was a 66-yard touchdown. He caught the ball behind the line of scrimmage and scored. So, their Florida's rushing was terrible too. I think their leading rusher as far as average goes was their punter, actually. But LaMichael Perine led them in rushing with 42 yards and 10 carries. And a lot of that was he had a 15-yarder. So take that away, then his yards per carry is probably way under 4. I think Florida's defense played all right. They had a lot of penalties in the secondary in the fourth quarter, but other than that, they got after the quarterback a lot. Obviously, the Miami offensive line was terrible. But I think Felipe Franks definitely is going to have to clean it up for them to have a 9-10 win season.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, it wasn't a terrible game, but nothing to, you know, that's not going to win you the, I mean, that was already a close game, but, you know, that's not going to beat Georgia. That's not going to, you know, beat the tougher opponents. But yeah, I agree. They need to give the ball to Tony more. He had 4 touches on the game, that one touchdown pass, and then he carried the ball 3 other times. I think you definitely need to give him the ball more. A bright spot for Miami, DJ Dallas, especially running the Wildcat. He had some very good runs. He had that one long touchdown run. So that's definitely a bright spot. But one thing I wanted to talk about and touch on was how they were using Tate Martell. I think they might have put him at quarterback like once. He was kind of like Wildcat formation. He had gloves on. It didn't really look like he was going to throw it. But I think he did that like once, maybe twice. And then he also was lining up in the slot a lot. Or not a lot, but he did that several times. So what do you think about that? And I'm not too sure about that.
I think if they're going to put him in the Wildcat, then it needs to be in an RPO situation. I mean, it may have. He just might have made the wrong read or something, but in a situation where he can also pass. But, I mean, he had gloves on, so I don't think it was. I think it was a designed run. I think if they're going to put him in the Wildcat, at least, you know, play action and give him either the option to take off or throw it to a receiver. As far as a receiver goes, I mean, he has some quickness, but, you know, if you don't have quickness and you're not the tallest guy in the world because he's 5'11", then it's going to be hard for him to crack the rotation. You know, the routes that he ran, I thought were pretty good. I think one of them, he was open, you know, towards the back of the end zone, but it didn't get thrown his way. So, I guess it just comes down to how he's going to pick up the playbook, stuff like that. But to be honest, I don't know if I really see much of a future at wide receiver. So
yeah, I don't either. And I think a lot of that was Manny Diaz trying to keep him happy. I think you said during the game, we both were like thinking at the same time. Then you said, and then I said it right after you think he's just trying to keep him bought in. Because, I mean, he's not one of their best receivers.
There's probably better options there.
Exactly. There's probably better receivers. And, you know, if you're going to throw him in at quarterback, why not also throw in, you know, why is Perry, you know, not getting in to go in there? So, yeah, I think they're just trying to keep him happy, keep him bought into the team. They don't want any distractions or anything like that. But I would not be surprised. See, Jaren Williams played a decent enough game to obviously, you know, he played basically the whole game. But I think if, like I said, if he doesn't have to start, it was just a decent game. If he doesn't improve from that, I could definitely see them trying a different quarterback just because it wasn't anything like fantastic. So, they don't want to be mediocre the whole season. But then, yeah, the biggest issue would just be the offensive line. Like, the offensive line has to be better. If it's not, it doesn't really matter what quarterback's back there. They're just going to, you know, they're going to be constantly getting hit. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Miami and Florida do. I think I agree. Florida might be a little overrated. That's another thing I want to talk about. Do you think Florida's overrated or do you think Miami's underrated?
That's a good question. I think it's more of Florida's overrated than anything because I think a lot of people didn't see, you know, how many players they had transfer out and injuries. I think people were just basing it off of last year. And a lot of people or analysts were saying, oh, they had such a great end of the year last year. Well, they beat the crap out of Michigan. But, I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses, but Michigan, I think, had a ton of starters sit out. I don't have the schedule in front of me, so I can't remember who else they beat. I think they beat – I know they lost to Georgia. I think they might have beat Arkansas. I'm just pulling it up right now. Oh, they played they skimmed by South Carolina, 135-31. They beat the crap out of Florida State, 41-14. That's not saying much. They did lose to Missouri late in the season, and then they
honestly the end of the year.
Idaho.
Other than that Michigan bowl game, it's honestly not impressive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like they're kind of overhyped them a little bit. I don't think many people looked into what, you know, who they beat down the stretch. Even though they ended, you know, with, what, 4 straight wins, really only one of them was a quality win, and even that quality win is sort of had an asterisk because a lot of players were injured and stuff like that. So, to answer your question, I think Miami's a little bit overrated, and I think Florida. I think Florida's a little bit overrated, and I think Miami may be slightly underrated. But I think they'll win a lot of games, but just because of their schedule.
Yeah, Miami will win a decent amount of games because of their schedule. I see Florida probably right now. You know, it's the first game of the year, so we don't want to look too much into it. You know, obviously,
and it was a week early too. So
yeah. So I mean, there's gonna be improvement for sure, but like right now, if I could just re-rank, you know, these teams, I would probably put Florida back a little further, maybe in the teens, maybe around like, you know, 15, something like that, just because I don't think they're top 10 at the moment. They might get there this year, you know, they might improve along the year, you know, along the way, but I don't think right now they're a top 10 team. So, yeah, we'll see what these two teams can do coming up in the season. So the other game we had was Arizona-Hawaii. That was a very good game. Probably more entertaining than the Florida-Miami game, in my opinion. Just because, you know, there's a lot of points. It was, you know, a shootout, and it kept going back and forth. And, you know, I don't think it wasn't as sloppy. So, you know, it's probably a little more entertaining. But that was a close game, 45-38 Hawaii with the first upset of the year. I'm pretty sure Hawaii was double-digit underdogs in this. So, upset is pretty interesting. I stayed up to watch it till like 2:30. It was pretty late living on the East Coast. But it was definitely worth it. Probably the most interesting storyline from this, in my opinion, would be Cole McDonald being benched for Cordero, the backup quarterback, who I think was actually Tua's backup, I think he was Tua's backup in high school, I think it was. So he stayed in Hawaii to go to college. Cordero did. But Cole McDonald, I was watching the game, and he'd either make an incredible play, like a really nice touchdown pass, like drop a dime, or then he would just throw a terrible interception the next play. Like he'd throw it into like triple coverage with a linebacker sitting right there, and he would just get picked off. He threw four picks. So, I mean, other than those four picks, he was 29 for 41, 378 yards and four touchdowns. And then he had those four picks. And after the fourth one, his coach pulled him and put in Cordero, who played very well. He went 5 for 7, 58 yards, one touchdown. And he looked great in the pocket. He was extremely poised. He didn't seem nervous or any unsettled. So he looked pretty good in there. So I guess that might be something to watch. Maybe Cole McDonald still easily has the job. And it was just, a statement being made like, hey, look, you're our leader. You can't be, throwing this many picks and trying to, like, you're about to toss the game. But, I wouldn't be surprised if Cordero is if they're in a battle now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he got some looks next game. Just because, he came in through that touchdown pass. He had a good QBR rating. He was efficient too. Went 5 for 7. Didn't make any mistakes. So I think he played very well. I think Cole McDonald played very well, but honestly, just had four mental errors. Basically, four huge mental errors that could have cost him the game. But Cole McDonald was very good last year. He threw for a bunch of yards this game, four touchdowns. He also threw four picks. So, maybe if the coach doesn't pull them, then maybe Arizona comes out with the win. You never know. On the Arizona side, Khalil Tate went 22 for 39, had 361 yards, threw three touchdowns, and also was intercepted twice. Also, he ran the ball 13 times for 108 yards, and he also had a 31-yard rush. And at the end of the game, he dropped back to pass, and I think they were about – oh, was that the 31-yard?
Yeah, that might have been the 31.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, I think it was. They're about 30 yards out or so, and he actually took off, but the clock had it hit zero, so he either had to score or else they lost, and he came up 1 yard short. So I think he had a very good game. He threw two picks. He's a little inconsistent with his accuracy, but other than that, I think it was pretty solid. He spread the ball around. A ton of receivers touched the ball. J.J. Taylor had an all right game. He only, you like to see him get the ball probably more than 14 times. Only had one catch also. So I'd like to see Kevin Sumlin get him the ball more. And, that's a really nice duo to just rushing the ball, honestly, Khalil Tate and J.J. Taylor. So I'd like to see them capitalize on that more.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to say is that J.J. Taylor needs to touch the ball more. He's an explosive running back, very good running back. He'll be in the NFL after this year. And so I think, he definitely needs to touch the ball more. And I think, that just maybe, just option. Do a read option with Khalil Tate and J.J. Taylor. Either one is a great runner. So I think they definitely need to get J.J. Taylor the ball more. But, there's a great point when you said Khalil Tate a little inconsistent. He kind of like Cole McDonald, he'd make a really good play, and then the next he would have a bad incompletion or interception. His completion percentage was not that great. So that's some. I'm glad to see him running because last year his rushing yards decreased greatly from 2017. So I'm glad to see him put up a lot of rushing yards. I'm hoping to see that throughout the whole season. But yeah, he's got to play a little bit better in my opinion. He had too many incompletions. But yeah, still a decent game. I mean, if either team had a defense, it would have been a blowout for that specific team if that one team had a defense. But then probably the biggest thing to talk about was Cedric Bird from Hawaii, the receiver. I remember I was watching the game, and then he caught his third touchdown. I was like, that's his third one. And then they said it was his third one. And then shortly after that, he caught his fourth one. So, I mean, he had a great game, 14 catches, 224 yards, four touchdowns. He was an absolute monster. Just, I mean, I hadn't heard of him until this year. So, you know, he's a receiver to watch out for now this season for sure.
Yeah, definitely the best player out of either game on Saturday as far as statistics. I don't know what he did last year. He's a senior this year. I don't know. I can't see. But anyways, he had 14 catches, which is really impressive, because 14 catches in a game, that means you got to be beating your man almost every single rep. So, and then he had his average was 12.3. His last year's stats, he had 79 receptions for 970 yards. He had 12 yards per catch and then 9 touchdowns, which is surprising because that's pretty good. You know, we did our wide receiver rankings a while back, and his name didn't come up really at all. There's 970. A lot of the guys we ranked were well over the 1,000-yard mark. I think we had maybe one or two that were a bit under. But maybe he can have a strong campaign this year, especially with them having a high-powered offense, and maybe he'll get drafted. I mean, surely he'll get drafted.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He's almost already halfway to how many touchdowns he had last year, and he's only been one game. So he's definitely a player to watch out for. Kind of, when I was watching, he kind of reminded me of Rondale Moore. I don't think he's that big. Yeah, he's 5'9", 175 pounds, and he looked pretty shifty, pretty speedy. He could get open because of that agility. So he's kind of a Rondale Moore type receiver. So he's definitely someone to watch out for this season. But two great games to start off the season. Hoping this Saturday is also going to be great. Actually, we have games Thursday and Friday, so hoping those games will be great. We're about to get right into those here in a second, those games Thursday and Friday, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the Student Section Podcast.
Welcome back in, guys. We're going to talk about a few games that we have Thursday and Friday. So to start off, UCLA takes on Cincinnati at Cincinnati's place. I think Cincinnati is definitely the better team here. I think UCLA is just not there yet as far as talent. I think Cincinnati should have a pretty good team this year. They're coming off of a, you know, above average year. They got a lot of hype, but you know, people were expecting them to, you know, have 9, maybe 10 wins. They play a weaker schedule, so that's definitely something that they can achieve. I think they should win this game, probably 1 to 2 scores. I don't know if the spread is on that, but I think that they're good enough to where they could definitely cover, because I think that UCLA is probably going to have a down year, and just like they did last year, they definitely won't make a bowl game, and I think Cincinnati's just the much better football team, so I expect them to win probably by more than 14 points.
More than 14. Yeah, I like that. I mean, Cincinnati is the much better team in my opinion as well. Last year, Cincinnati went 11-2. They finished the year ranked, I'm pretty sure. So definitely a great team. And yeah, like you said, UCLA, I just don't think they're there yet either. Chip Kelly's got a lot of work to do. So yeah, I see them missing a bowl game as well. I see Cincinnati winning pretty easily as well. Next we have Georgia Tech at Clemson. You know, I'm assuming we both have Clemson in this game, but you know, still interesting to talk about.
Yeah, I think the spread on this game is 35.5, which I don't see Clemson covering that. I think it could be a 3 to 4 score game. I don't know about 35. I don't know about 35 points. I think, you know, Clemson will definitely pull away. I think it might be close for a little bit, but I think Clemson will pull away second half. and win by three, maybe four touchdowns. I mean, it's a no-brainer, really. They have one of the most talented teams in the nation. You know, they're number one right now. Obviously, you have the best player in the nation in Trevor Lawrence. So I don't really need to say much about that, although I am excited to see what Georgia Tech's offense puts out on the field. No more triple option, misdirection type stuff. It'll just be, you know, just them playing football, really.
Yeah. Quick side note. We talked about these games on our live episode, our live show we did on Saturday after College Game Day. We went live and talked about these games and stuff. So the reason we're doing them again, if you heard that, is simply because we did not record that. And so we're just talking about them again for those who did not hear it. But while I'm talking about that, we will try to go live on Saturdays. The time is still up in the air. We're still trying to figure everything out, but we will go live and have like an hour show where we talk about the upcoming games in the week and like that Saturday. So definitely tune into that. But yeah, this Georgia Tech Clemson game, I will also be interested to see what Georgia Tech can do with that new offense. I think it's definitely good that they're getting, you know, out of the triple option. Definitely a hindrance in terms of just winning football games. You know, it's hard to recruit for. It's hard to execute well, especially against great defenses. So I'm glad to see them, you know, trying to, you know, get rid of the rest of college football with, I think they're doing more of a spread type of offense. So that's good. But yeah, I see Clemson easily winning this. 35, you said the spread is 35. I don't know about 35 either. That's a lot. Georgia Tech normally has at least a decent defense. But yeah, I mean, I could see it, yeah, being a, you know, 28, like you said, four touchdown game. But it'll definitely be interesting to see. The last game I'm going to talk about for Thursday is number 14, Utah at BYU. Interesting game. Utah, I would definitely say, is the better team, but they are going and having to play at BYU.
With it being at BYU, maybe we'll see a close game, but I think Utah is definitely the much better team. This game will be on ESPN. It's late. I think it's around 10 o'clock, 10:15, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry, Utah's been getting a lot of hype lately. I know Lee Corso had them in his playoff. Which I don't agree with. I think Utah will have a chance to win the Pac-12. I think they'll definitely make it to the Pac-12 championship game. You know, if they can stay injury-free, stuff like that. But I don't think, even if they were to play Washington or Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, then I think they'd get outmatched by either of those teams. This is probably my favorite game on Thursday night. I know it's late, but definitely has the most, it's most impactful, at least. It has the most implications for the Thursday and Friday games with it, you know, such a big rivalry, one of the best in college football, really.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a good rivalry. But yeah, I agree. I think Utah will win pretty easily, honestly, in my opinion. I don't think BYU is that good. And Utah's got a great offense and defense with Zach Moss and Huntley at quarterback. But they're both great athletes. I think they'll put up a lot of points, honestly. And but yeah, Utah's schedule is extremely easy. The Pac-12 South is just not a good division, honestly. And so I see Utah easily running away with that division and then this game against BYU. Moving into Friday's games, and these aren't all the games. Keeping that in mind, these are just some of the games. Some of them are, you know, obviously we didn't think they were really going to be close games or anything, so there's no reason really to talk about them. But moving into Friday, we have first game we want to talk about is Rice at Army. Army's a great team coming off a great year. Has an incredible defense. Something interesting about them this year is that they play a 13 regular season game, which is kind of weird, but yeah, I see Army big in this one.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add here. I think Army's definitely more talented. It'll be good for them to start out the season with a win. Army is another team who has a super easy schedule. Probably one of the easiest, definitely, that we did from our predictions that we did. Army has a chance to just have one loss, pretty much, is all that I would give them. I think that one loss will come to Michigan. And I think that Michigan game, quite honestly, will be pretty close. I think that game will go into the fourth quarter being a 1-2 score game. And so we'll see if Army can hang with them. But yeah, but yes, I like Army as well in this one. I think they run away with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Army-Michigan game will be extremely interesting. You remember last year, Army took was it Oklahoma, I believe, to overtime?
Yeah, they took them to overtime.
Yeah, so that'll be probably a good game. I hope it's a good game. Next, for Friday, we have Tulsa at number 18, Michigan State. I just put this one on here just because it's a ranked team, and, you know, you never know first week, a team could be, you know, not really ready. They could be, you know, just first nerves for the first game of the year. So, I have Michigan State winning this, but I could see it, you know, being close the first half and then Michigan State, you know, pulling it together and then pulling away with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, they come on a little bit after, or well, they'll start at the same time, just an hour after Army and Rice kicks off. So, yeah, I'm definitely interested in this game. I'll definitely give it, you know, maybe the first half at least, if it's a close game. I'm interested to see what Michigan State's offense looks like with Brian Lewerke coming back. I think hopefully he's healthy this year. Last year he was not healthy, which led to their offense being very stagnant. Couldn't get the pass game going. Couldn't really move the ball at all. Their defense was one of the best in the country. I expect them to pick up right where they left off in that area. So as long as they can get their offense going, just at least have a pulse, then I expect them to have at least probably 8-9 wins. But it all comes down to the health of the quarterback position and if they can actually get some quality reps there out of those guys. Not reps, but like production at least, because last year there's no production there. Lewerke was awful, but I think a lot of that came from his shoulder injury.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest issue for Michigan State last year was the quarterback play. It was very poor, below average. Lewerke was hurt, and then I can't remember the backup's name, but he did not play well either. So it was just rough for Michigan State. That defense was having to keep them in games. So hopefully, yeah, like you said, this year, if the offense can just be at least decent, then they should be, you know, set for like at least 9 wins. Next game, and I think this is an extremely interesting game, is Wisconsin at number 19, Wisconsin at South Florida. South Florida is usually a solid team. They, past couple of years, have been giving UCF a run for their money in the American Conference. And Wisconsin had a little bit of a down year last year. I believe they went 8-5. So it's definitely, and Wisconsin will have a new quarterback this year. So it'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, if there's going to be any, big upsets this weekend, it could definitely be that game.
Yeah, me as well, especially since it's at South Florida. I think that makes a big difference. I think South Florida will be ready to go, be really hyped up for the season to start. I think I would definitely pick Wisconsin in this game just because they're going to be the more talented team, and I think Jonathan Taylor's a handful for any defense to handle, and I expect him to have a great game against the South Florida defense. So I don't know what the spread is on that, but I assume it's got to be not that far off in Wisconsin's. I mean, surely it's below 10. I mean, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. I mean, I think it'll be a pretty close game.
I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah, me as well. I do too. But yeah, I think Wisconsin will pull it out, most likely because of Jonathan Taylor. I don't know if South Florida will be able to handle him, like you said. But I do think it'll be a pretty close game. Next game, UMass at Rutgers. Just thought it was an interesting game because, you know, Rutgers is normally one of the worst Power 5 teams. And so it'd be interesting to see if UMass can pull off the upset, if you want to call it an upset. I probably would. UMass went 4-8 last year. So, you know, obviously not a great team, but, you know, you never know. And you know, most likely UMass is going up. It's hard not to go up from a 4-8 season. They played Georgia last year and put up 27 points. So, it'd be definitely interesting to see what they can do against the Rutgers, who's, yeah, like I said, a pretty weak Power 5 team. But I'll probably still go with Rutgers in this game just because it's at Rutgers.
I think Rutgers will probably win this game. But I think UMass will definitely give them some problems on defense, because I think UMass has a decent offense, at least, that can move the ball up and down the field, where Rutgers will have some problems keeping them out of the end zone. I think UMass will be able to put up some points because Rutgers' defense is pretty bad. I think Rutgers wins this game, maybe by a touchdown or a field goal. I think it'll be really close.
Next game, we got Utah State at Wake Forest. I got Utah State big in this game, honestly. Utah State's a great team. Went 11-2 last year, finished ranked, smacked North Texas in their bowl game, I believe it was. I think Jordan Love's a very good quarterback, very underrated quarterback, and I think he'll put up, you know, a ton of numbers this game, and I think they'll win big.
Yeah, I think Jordan Love's a really good quarterback. I think he'll be able to put up some huge yards through the air, throw a lot of touchdowns on that defense, because I think Wake Forest is not that good. Even though it's at Wake Forest, I could see it being close. But I think Utah State definitely is the way better team, and it's probably going to win by a couple scores, if, you know, maybe not, probably two or three scores, I'd imagine. But I could see it being close, with it being at Wake Forest on ACC Network, that is.
Yeah, Wake Forest, not one of the best Power 5 teams either, but, you know, definitely better than Rutgers. But, yeah, I think Utah State's the better team. One of the best group of 5 teams right now. Then we got Colorado State at Colorado. Actually, I think it's not at Colorado. It might be at a neutral site. But I definitely got Colorado in this game. They got a great offense with LaVisca Chenault, receiver. We put him in our top 10 receivers. So, great receiver. I see Colorado winning pretty easily.
Yeah, me as well. I think Colorado will come out and take care of business with this game. I don't know where this game's being played at. But I think Colorado has a pretty good offense. They have a great wide receiver corp. So that's really all I have to say about that one. I think it'll be a close game, though, with Colorado State wanting to beat another in-state team. But I think Colorado will pull off the W.
Lastly, for Friday, we got Oklahoma State at Oregon State. Another interesting game, but I got Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma State's being slept on a little bit this year. I think they're going to have a pretty solid year. I think they'll improve. I think Oregon State, they were down last year. They've been down the past couple of years. So I got Oklahoma State winning on the road. But, I mean, if Oregon State won this game, I don't necessarily know if it would surprise me, just because, you know, Oklahoma State hasn't been necessarily the best either in recent years. But I do think Oklahoma State's on the come up.
I think Oklahoma State will win this game. I think they'll win big. I don't think Oregon State's poses as a huge threat to them, especially to start the season. I think Oklahoma State will be ready to go. Oklahoma State, I think, is talented enough to put up some points. They only won 7 games last year. They have a really good wide receiver in Tylan Wallace, one of the best in the country. So I expect him to have a huge game against this defense. That's all I really have to say about this game. And we'll see what kind of year Oklahoma State can have. You know, maybe they'll be able to get to 8 or 9 wins. They have 7-6, like I just mentioned. So I think Oklahoma State will come out with the W pretty easily.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Student Section Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And as always, tune in next week for another weekly episode.